Hello, welcome to this week's P&E chat. International break, no football on a Saturday. It's a sad day for all. No club football, it's international football, but no rest for us.
No, absolutely not. No, still talk nonsense as ever.
Here to talk nonsense as ever, and more importantly, Dave, here to talk about a win.
A win, one of those 3 points. A win, four goals, a clean sheet, a derby win, everything. It was just fell into place last week. So. Such a good feeling, isn't it? You know, yeah. one we've just not had this season, really.
It was, as you say, but I think fell into place is sort of all that came around.
Like, yeah.
You know, even Wigan's red card sort of went in, you know, North End's favour on the other day, things might have gone differently, but it all sort of knitted together nicely, didn't it? For one, you know, it wasn't just a 1-0 win against your rivals, but
no.
Saw them off good and proper.
Yeah, bar the first few minutes, I thought they took the game by the scruff of the neck. Especially once they got that first goal, I don't think they ever sort of let up. And I like the way that, you know, the second two goals came, 85th and 96th minute. You know, they kept the foot on the throat all the way through, which, you know.
Foot on the throat.
Do you like that? You know, sometimes, you know, like in past seasons and even last season, North End had a tendency just to sort of step off the gas. If you think of their only other win in the league this season, the QPR game on the first game of the season, that was 1-0, and they were under pressure for the last few minutes, weren't they? You know, I remember Declan Rill making a very good save in that one. But, you know, against Wigan, they're in control all the way through. You know, they just kept pushing forward without being stupid about it, and, you know, boosted the goal difference, really, you know, which is vital. North End have let in so many goals this season. But of the 7th highest goal scorers in the division, you know, and still got a -6 goal difference. So those two last goals are quite important as well, just to close that gap a little bit.
I was going to say, there were plenty sort of, what do you call, boxes ticked, I think would be your phrase, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First win since the opening day, big one. Four goals, big one.
Yeah.
Clean sheet, perhaps a
massive
lot.
Yeah.
And off the bottom of the table, which just did a nice little psychological lift, isn't it?
And scoring that fourth goal lifted them up an extra place, didn't it? I think if it had been 3-0, it would have been second bottom. You know, it's earlier season, but, you know, and so you don't want to panic too much. But, you know, again, it's 12 games gone. You know, we're sort of caught the season job, aren't we? You know, so. So it was important to visibly see some progress with the league table as well.
Questions, comments, anything and everything is ever welcome. We said it before, sort of more and more negative, like, didn't we? Everyone was sort of saying early days, but quarter gone.
Yeah. You're beyond that. First four, five, six games, you're thinking, still start the season. But now, you know, like double figures of games. But I think things are, you know, small steps, but they are starting to go in the right direction. The win, the point against Villa can now be seen as a pretty good one, I think. Had they not backed the 3-0 draw up with something against, if they'd only drawn against Wigan or been beaten by Wigan, the point at Villa wouldn't be here or there, you know. But, you know, to back it up with 3 points, 4 points in two games, you were seeing a little bit more of an improvement, I thought, in the weeks before. You know, in terms of like parts of the performance were okay, and other parts weren't. But I thought it just knitted together nicely last Saturday.
Did. Two goals to Callum Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of talking points, wasn't there? We had sort of someone got lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had the fourth goal potentially not being Callum's. We had a debate over who should take a penalty.
Yeah.
And we had a certain little Irishman making his return as well. So,
yeah.
Let's deal with Gallagher first.
Yeah.
We spoke to him this week.
Yeah.
Talked about it on the back page today. Lucas Nemeca wanted it.
Yeah.
He was excellent.
Yeah.
All that was lacking was a goal. But Gallagher, the old pro, said, I've got to make sure all 3 points.
It's game management. It's absolutely bang on. You know, have North End been 4-0 up and they got the penalty, or 3-0 up, give it to Nemeca. You know, there's this train of thought as well, if a player's fouled, should they really be the ones who've taken it if they're still a bit shaken up or whatever, you know? But I don't really go with that one myself. But no, it was a pure game management thing. 2-0 up, 2-0 is one of those funny leagues. North End were comfortable in the game, but Wigan weren't giving up. And say Nemeca had stepped up, say he had missed it, not saying he would have done, but had he missed it, stayed at 2-0, crowd might have got a little bit edgy. Big ball up from, you know, into the box by Wigan at some point, comes off someone, yeah, lucky bounce, bring it back to 2-1. Suddenly you're in for a right nervous last few minutes. So I just thought, you know, any advantage, you know, to get to 3-0, Gallagher's a good penalty taker. He stuck it away, 3-0, that was game over that, and the fourth one was icing on the cake. But it was exactly the right decision. You know, like Lucas and Metcher will score for North End. He just, you know, he'll just have to wait another week for it.
While we're on the Metcher, how good has he been?
Totally different player. I've written about him a piece of the weekend. His debut at Swansea was okay, I thought for a lad pitched in with basically one day's training with his new teammates, he did okay down there at Swansea. But the games afterwards in August, I thought he looked a little bit off it, looked a little bit lost. And then obviously he'd had this issue with his knee. Hopefully that's cleared up now. But you saw against Villa, he was North End's best player in the first half against Villa, which wasn't difficult. But then in the second, he carried on, you know, he went up to that next level with all his teammates did. And then, you know, against Wigan, the sort of this pace and the power he was getting in behind their defence, should have had a penalty in the first half and didn't, got one in the second. And he just looked like he started to get what North End were about, really, and what he needed to do. We had a chat with him afterwards, didn't we, and he was saying that,
He said, very mature lad.
He's a nice lad, you know. And he sat there and he grew into the interview almost like he grew, you know, he grows into the games, you know. And he was saying, he said when he first came to North End, he could see that he was playing with some decent players, you know. He didn't dispute that, but he says his game wasn't really syncing with theirs. He says he was having to learn where they were putting the ball and whether he had to go and hold it or whether he had to try and dart in behind. And I think he was just getting used to it, and we didn't see the best of him for a good month or so. But hopefully now he's had these two good performances. Hopefully that's the sort of level we can see consistently from him. He's a young lad still. He's only 19. I'm sure we'll get the odd up and down game from him. You know, you do in the Championship anyway. But you know, he's 19. He's probably not played double figures yet worth of, you know, first team football. So you know, it's very much a sort of, you know, a learning process for him.
Right, a few comments. Probably Gallagher had a few technical issues.
Not like you, this.
Not like me.
One day, this is going to be the perfect presentation.
We try our best.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
Try our best. We're getting there. Christopher Olds, he sums up many feelings. International break's the worst part of the season. I don't think many people disagree with you. Mm. Darren Parkinson, a regular. Good to have you on, Darren. I thought we played that well. We made Wigan look poor. Mm. We know Paul Kendrick covered Wigan well. Mm. Wigan weren't very good at all.
No, has to be said,
in some kind of context. And Paul Cook admitted they were probably the all-time low point of his reign.
But I could see with Wigan how they wanted to play. He just didn't, you know. And at times he moved the ball okay, but North End were on top of him, stopped him playing in certain areas, and I think Powell going off was a big point as well, wasn't it, just before half time?
Yeah. David Humphreys, more like last season, keep it going. I think that reflects what a lot of people thinking, although that was the biggest league win under Alex Neil.
It was, yeah.
He scored four goals under him, though. Yeah. Five at Wickham, but four was a rare sight. Mm. Unlucky Alan Brown, so close.
Yeah.
3.68 millimetres.
That's not a lot, is it? That's not a lot, no.
If you look at that, it's one of those where his centre court were watching the Hawkeye come through the views and ours as the most minuscule bit of the ball can cross the line, according to the...
Size did matter on this occasion, didn't it, as you say, so...
Anyway, it was a close call, wasn't it, for Brownlee?
But it shows that Hawkeye goal line technology works.
Absolutely no arguments left.
No argument. Referee knew straight away that it wasn't quite over the line. And to be honest, the company that does all the Hawkeye stuff, they'd sent pictures and the information about it of the decision to both clubs within the course of the game, which I think is good. That information supplied to the clubs. So, straight away, there's none of this, well, was it over the line, was it really? The email, the evidence to him straight away, which you got.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We were aware of it during the game, weren't we? And then some North End sort of released it officially afterwards, which I think was good for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. Elliot James, good to have Elliot on the penalty. Galley taking it was the right thing to do. We had a habit of conceding, and Galley put us out of sight.
Yeah.
If Lucas missed it and they pull one back, it's game on. at 2-1. They met your man of the match, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fair enough. And I read somebody send me a message, and fair enough, although I wouldn't want to think this way about the lad, but if Nemecha then misses, do you not, the lad is taking two big steps forward, you're knocking one back.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one.
One of our colleagues who
won two penalties in a week should have had three, obviously, in the first half, shouldn't he? Shocking decision from Luke Rowe.
One of our colleagues from the national papers, what was a phrase he used? He says, Paul Gallagher taking the free kick off, taking the penalty off Lucas Metcher was like stealing a little boy's ice cream. I thought that was a little bit harsh myself.
Yeah, they were stealing the little boy's ice cream or nicking his sweet, certainly. Yeah. But there is, you see on the footage, Nemecha plead with him.
Yeah.
With Paul Gallagher. And then, but afterwards, he was fairly reserved afterwards, wasn't he, Lucas?
As we said, if Nemecha plays the way he's done in the last two games, their goal will come to him. So.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. And he acknowledged afterwards, didn't he? And you've written this week as well that that is very much the next phase for him, the next step for him. Callum Ross, EIEIO.
Don't like that.
All the football week we go, obviously. Yeah. So, positivity. Listen, we'll probably come to this in a minute, and maybe this is one for next week because we'll be back next Thursday before Hull. About Alex Neil's talked about this next batch of games.
Yeah.
Mm. And I noticed some of the players are talking about. The games to come.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity here.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the league away next
year. Yeah. There's a hymn sheet being sung off here, isn't
there? There is. We do find that, don't we? It's almost like, not that they're told what to say, but obviously there is a message that said in the dressing room and comes out in interviews.
Well, you look at it, what Hull away, Brentford home, obviously just lost a manager. I'm not saying that will be easy at all. Rotherham at home, then is it Ipswich and Bristol City away, or roughly in that order? So. Yeah, you look on it on paper, you know, there's still going to be tough games, but there's ones you've got to be thinking, well, they're not really up near the top of the league, so, you know, if North End have any ambitions about climbing up that division and making an impact, they've got to be getting points from quite a lot of those anyway.
Yeah, definitely. What, there is a negative and a positive, certainly, in Ben Pearson and Sean Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
What do we focus on first?
Well, sure. Ben Pearson.
Fifth
yellow of the season against Wigan. Broke down Powell. Probably took one for the team there. No issues with those kinds of bookings, really. TV highlights maybe show it wasn't the nicest of fouls or the challenges from Ben. But he got his yellow card. Fifth of the season. He'll sit out the whole game. One match ban. Ledson should be back. He missed the Wigan game with a twisted ankle, sprained ankle. So you got Sonic and Ledson can come in and do that sitting midfield role. It'll still be, you know, Pearson will still be a loss though. And then Sean Maguire, discussed at the moment. He's had 20 minutes of action under his belt and he's over with the Republic of Ireland now. Now, Ireland obviously called him up before he'd even played that 20 minutes. So just hope it's a case of handling with care and, you know, the workload on him over there in training and matches isn't as great as what it might have been.
Yeah, well, surely surprised for you, didn't it? Alex Neil was very diplomatic, wasn't he?
He was, he sort of, I asked him the question afterwards, would you not prefer to have him here for the next 2 weeks, you know, keeping an eye on him? And I think, you know, Neil said, oh, well, we've liaised with Ireland, and I know in his press conferences, Martin O'Neill's been talking about it over there, saying there's been quite a lot of dialogue and they're going to treat him as if he was one of their own, you know, and treat him in a way they'd expect a player to be treated if he was one of their sort of thing. And you just hope they're sensible with him and, you know, they don't pile the training on him. Probably you're looking at him coming off the bench if he's going to be playing. I can't really see him starting. Because I don't think however desperate Ireland are to put a striker on the pitch, you know, they've got injuries up there. They're going to want to put a fully fit striker up there, and however good Maguire is, so if he's not, you know, if he's still not got full sharpness, you know, in his legs, he's not going to make much impact for him. So you think Callum Robinson would be more of a sort of likely starter for him, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You would think so, wouldn't you? And Callum looks like he's got a good opportunity there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sean Maguire with Scott Hogan this week, wasn't it?
Hogan's in the same boat as Maguire. He's had an injury as well. He's not played a lot, has he? And Ben, I think Shane Long's injured at the moment, so there's a bit of a dearth of strikers over there, really.
So. Yeah, definitely indeed. David Andrews, Lucas and Shawnee sound like a handful together.
Yeah.
In AN we trust, I think some of that's gone.
Well, he played Shaun, when Shaun came on, he played him on the right, didn't he, really, sort of on the right of the three. and then switched him over a little bit to the left, and then Maguire went more down the middle when he made the sub towards the end, you know, when they put Ben Davies on. And so, yeah, you've got that option of playing Maguire out wide if need be, can't you? Playing the Metcher down the middle. So.
Yeah, Ian Holland said, we had a bad start, but a lot asking for him to be sacked was rubbish. Mm-hmm. We've had our blip this season, now we've got to kick on.
Yeah. Had the blip, but they've got to kick on, and they've got to, you know, they've started to put a couple of results together, and they need to keep doing it. So.
Yeah, that's the test now, isn't it?
So. Not just talk about it, do it.
No, go to Hull, definitely. Mm-hmm. Andrew Billington, Pearson's ban against Hull hopefully isn't a great loss.
Mm-hmm. It's probably, if you're going to get banned for one, hopefully. It's a one, yeah, but well, you can cover it.
We asked Alex Neil Randleton, and obviously missed. He'll be a match replacement. He missed.
Yeah, missed the Wigan game, sprained ankle. Yeah, so he'll be back.
He'll be back, okay, and he'll be the natural replacement sitting there.
Yeah.
And then choices of plenty in midfield as well. Mm. On Pearson, I saw Dean Ashton on the big TV highlights called Tackle Disgusting. Mm. Called Gibson's Tackle Disgusting as well.
Yeah.
So,
seen it back? At the time, I just thought it was a bit of a clip on the, you know, the back of the heel, you know, like stopped him, you know, Powell's making a run, which is getting into the offence half, and he stopped him. It just looked like one, take one for the team. I didn't watch the Quest highlights. I was out celebrating an North End win at the time, so I had, for once, I had something good to do on a Saturday night. From what it sounds like, it didn't look particularly great.
It's a naughty challenge.
Yeah.
It takes part out of the game as well, which I think sort of doubly gives it sort of a double meaning.
Yeah.
But it's one of those. Alex Neil afterwards, we asked him, didn't we? He's given the same answer several times now. I think he, like Ben, probably is bored of talking about it. Stop talking about it. Alex Neil more worried about going to his mouth rather than him making tackles.
Yeah. Well, he didn't seem to mind this one. He said, I think two of the yellow cards have been, well, kicking the ball away and a bit of dissent. So if you took those two out of the equation, it would mean we'd have him available for the next couple of games, you know, at least, you know, he'd be two bookings still off it. You know, if he kept his mouth shut and been a bit more disciplined, he would still have been two bookings away from the suspension. So that needs to cut out. But it's a topic I think we'll keep revisiting over time. I don't think Ben Pearson can probably get a little bit more disciplined, but he's never going to completely change.
No, he's not. He's not. And I had a look at it today. Alan Brown, the surprising next, and off the rank on four.
Yeah. I think Brownie's got an edge to him when he wants to. So.
He's done a bit more of a shift further back, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Probably accounts for it with a few the bans and suspensions. That probably accounts for it. Well,
Villa, he finished off at right back, didn't he? Played right wing, centre midfield, number 10, right wing, right back.
I'm going to say it, and Pearson's banned after Hull, and are we hopefully looking at something like what Alex Neil wants to put out?
You'd hope so.
Billy Bowden and Harrop aside.
Yeah, that, you know, those two ACL injuries are obviously long term. You've got to rule those out of the equation. But no, when you think Maguire coming, you know, Maguire hadn't kicked a ball this season until last Saturday. You know, he getting Pearson back from his ban. There was a spell Ledson was out suspended. He had all those suspensions. So I think it's starting to come back now. I think his main issue now is going to be just getting that defence right and.
Yeah.
Finding a settled defence. Here was I sat in this seat a week ago, sort of preaching the need to sort of keep a settled defence, even though they've conceded three at Villa. Why not run with the same thing?
Yeah.
He changes both centre half, one through injury, one through choice.
Well, you said, I mean, that caught a lot of us off.
It did.
You and I mean, we got told when the team's counted, Poland's an injured.
Yeah.
So common sense would have been, well, you've got one injury, would you change both centre halves?
Yeah.
It didn't.
No.
He did, and it was a surprise. I mean, Jordan's story continues to sort of catch the eye.
Yeah.
Tom Clark, for all his criticism, involved in both clean sheets. And
Clark's probably coming for quite a lot of criticism, and, in some games, justifiably, I don't think he's been as sharp as quite a long way. But, yeah. The QPR game and this one both featured Tom Clark there, so and I thought him and Story linked up quite nicely on this one.
The old head and the young head.
Yeah, I call it the old, the experienced skipper and the young pup together, But Story looks like he's going to be one hell of a find if he carries on making the progress he does.
Well, I think you've got to allow him the old setback, haven't we?
Yeah.
But we are getting somewhere close to what.
Yeah. definitely. It's nice to have those choices, but sometimes having a lot of choice can complicate things slightly. But I think there has to be a time well when he settles that defence down and gets a sort of what he wants in there. You know, I think Hughes seems to be his preferred option at left back, even though I thought last couple of games, last two or three games, he's looked a little bit uncomfortable with his distribution. Darnell Fish is his first choice right back, but it's that middle pairing what he goes for, and Ben Davis left out. Well, the only league game he'd missed until Saturday was the defeat at Norwich, wasn't due to an injury, and this is the first time Neil had decided voluntarily to put him on the bench, I think that was his ninth different defence combination he put out over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, wasn't it? But we are getting somewhere close to a settled side. It's a massive difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, before we there is no championship football this week, but some pretty big championship news last night.
Yeah, what's that? The Villa.
John Terry's in your Aston Villa manager.
I think he wants to be.
To be. If you've seen the tweet from the chairman today, confident JT will make an excellent manager in the future or something along those lines. Which
bet Dean Smith loves
sure
that.
That's about his new manager. But anyway,
yeah.
Dean Smith, we can't claim to know the bloke at all, but we've been in a few press conferences.
Mm.
Decent bloke.
Yeah,
and decided to play good football.
Yeah, yeah, he did very well at Walsall. That got him the Brentford job. Done very well down there. Brentford similar to North End, I'd say, in stature at the moment and what they're about. And Smith's done well down at Brentford. He's an Aston Villa fan. He used to be a season ticket holder. His dad used to be a steward at the club, and they just seemed an ideal fit, like Villa were banging on, weren't they, about, Thierry Henry possibly or Mourinho's former number two. But sometimes you just need to be a bit, a bit of reality about it. Villa need to get out of that division before they start talking about, big names and whatever. And I think Smith is a really good appointment. But there's going to be that looming shadow of John Terry behind him, which is an interesting one. I'm not sure if that will work or not.
Yeah, it's good to see an English coach come up the hard way and get one. I mean, listen, I might get a bit of stick saying Villa's a big job, but championship or not, it's a big job.
Yeah.
Brentford, Brentford are ahead in the league, but a bigger job, a big club,
one of the
the staples of English football.
Yeah.
He's come up the hard way.
Yeah.
He's got the big job at the club he loves.
Yeah.
As you say, my one query with this whole thing is the placement of Terry, who seemingly was going to be the number two, whoever the manager was.
You're talking about this massive big link to the club. He was there for a season. It's not as if he's played all his career there, was it? It's not as if, I could understand him going to Chelsea and being on Chelsea's coaching staff and being brought through there. But Villa, a club that he did very well there, don't get me wrong,
Clearly he made an impression on the owner. There is a new sporting director in there as well, isn't there? So Smith is very much a head
new
coach.
Owners, yeah. I just think the new owners wanted a bit of a sort of stellar name in there, whether you count someone who's never coached before as a stellar name, it was a name in football that were coaching. You just wonder, Dean Smith's obviously got a good coaching team he had at Walsall, took his assistant down to Brentford, whoever I presume will end up coming back with him. But sometimes, what's he going to think with John Terry there? It's an extra dynamic, it's an extra person, to share his thoughts with. I thought, managers often work well with sort of in a circle, don't they? But it's their choice.
Yeah.
Get on with it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as North End have accounted for the last two Aston Villa managers, and Steve Bruce and Roberto Di Matteo, will Dean Smith be looking at his calendar the 3rd of October in 2020, another 2 years down the line, and be wondering, I wish we've got Preston on there.
Dare I venture that if Villa aren't in the Premier League, he might have been the man worried about
it. Yeah, true. Yeah. We might have gone up with him.
Yeah, it might be John Terry who's worried about it. No, a really, really interesting one, and it's good that, there was a lot touted around, wasn't it? It looks like Henry's after Monaco,
his first
club and a big name in French football.
Yeah. Can understand that.
It's a really interesting one to see Smith move across. Interesting, obviously, now where Brentford go.
Yeah. Mm. They've often got a plan, haven't they? Brentford
sell big players, bringing.
Brentford operate this sort of, not wholly entirely, but they have this sort of money ball sort of system where they look at a lot of stats, a lot of data. They bring in some signings where you can totally understand why they're done. They're bringing others which are a bit left field, which end up working out. But as you say, they've always got a plan. They lose a big name player, they often find another one and unearth them. And they'll have plans in place for who can replace Dean Smith, certainly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
If he'll be in place in time to face North End the week on Wednesday, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe think so. International breaks not a bad time for managers to go in, is it, in Dean Smith's point of view? And it's not a bad time for Brentford to have sort of 10 days just to get their heads in. Well, they've got dead on a week, haven't they? If they wanted somebody this time next week, then they've probably got.
Yeah.
Might be in charge come the next game, not Mr. Beat. Mm-hmm. Not Mr. Beat. Right. It's nice and early, but I think we'll.
Have
a bit of a shorter one for this week. Enjoy your Saturdays, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
There's a very handy piece. This is where I can shameless plug.
Yeah.
There's a very handy piece.
Written by yourself. Very good piece.
It's almost like a news for coin.
Yeah.
On the LEP website about non-league day on Saturday. They always do this during a certain international break. Mm-hmm. So it's non-league day on Saturday. So if you're at a loose end, the likes of Fulham Amateurs and others are at home.
Yeah.
I think Chorley are on the road and others.
Banbridge are on the road.
On the road. But Fulham Amateurs are at home and others.
Yeah.
So go and support your local grassroots if you need a football fix. Yeah. If you don't, see your family. If you don't, you see them on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't often do that, yeah.
Or enjoy whatever else you may be doing. We'll be back.
Asda, something like that. The big shop.
The big shop, maybe. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next Thursday to talk about Hull.
Yeah.
And marching on towards the middle of the championship table.
Yeah.
But as ever, thanks for watching.